Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The holiday season is upon us, and that means many people turn their attention to hunger in North Carolina, a problem that we ought to pay attention to all year long. Cindy Threlkeld runs the Manna Food Bank in Asheville and joins us now to talk about hunger in Western North Carolina. Thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
Let's talk about food insecurity in Western North Carolina. I want to talk about some statistics in a moment, but overall, what is the situation like? What do you see there?
Well, what we see, Chris, is what has become a long-term chronic response to the downturn in the economy, coupled with a lot of other things that are happening right now to make times especially tough for people. Unemployment rates in Western North Carolina continue to be high. What progress we do see tends to be jobs that are in the tourism or food industry that are part-time and minimum wage. So the recovery is slow here, and people are really feeling the impact of that extending over a period of time.
It's interesting because there's a perception, I think, in some places that the economy has sort of turned the corner, the stock market is setting records, and that things are getting better. But it sounds like in a lot of places in North Carolina that hasn't happened.
It's not happening for the people that are living daily with food insecurity. You know, I think it is beginning to show some signs of recovery, but again, the people that are struggling to put food on the table are not seeing that turn for the better.
And what sort of situations do you see? You mentioned people finding low-wage jobs, so I'm assuming there are plenty of people that come to you for help who actually are working every day.
That's exactly right. The face of hunger is not what people assume when they think they know who it is that's coming to a food bank. It may be somebody that's been that was involved in the landscaping industry when the economy was strong here and there were people building second homes, or it could be somebody that's working, you know, part-time in a nursing home and, you know, not making enough money to make ends meet. It could be a single mother that's trying to balance the costs of daycare and trying to get around to two part-time jobs. It's people that maybe have had a health condition that hit them that have made them unable to work for a while. We're seeing all kinds of people coming to a food bank that never would have expected that they would be in that situation.
There's this month a reduction in the SNAP or food stamp benefits. We've had interruption in the benefits in the past. Does that play a role?
It definitely does. We're just beginning to see that because that, as you know, was effective as of November 1st. So we'll begin to see that during the course of this month, and that's coming at the same time that people are getting hit with cold weather. So at the same time that the food stamp benefits are reduced, they're starting now to have to pay heating bills, and that the combination of that effect is going to hit some people very hard. I think, you know, people, when they look at the amount of that reduction, tend to think, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. A single person, it would be $11, a family of four, $36 a month. But if you're already struggling to try to stretch that food dollar, that does have an impact. To put it into perspective, I heard a statistic just the other day that if you look at on the annual basis, this reduction in food stamps will be about $5 billion in the course of a year, which would be enough money to provide 1.9 billion meals. So 1.9 billion meals are lost. And then if you look at what food banks do across the country, the Feeding America food banks, the national network, that 1.9 billion meals is equivalent to half of the meals that we distributed throughout the year. So it sounds like a modest loss, but what I think people don't understand is food banks and food pantries and homeless shelters can't make up the difference of those meals that were just lost.
Looking at the 2013 Map the Meal Gap study, it looks roughly 15% of the people living in your service area are food insecure, which is more than 100,000 people, which I think for people who are listening to this interview, that's an extraordinarily high number of people. How in the world can you serve them?
We do the best that we can, but, you know, the food bank network was really set up initially to help try to take the 40% of the food in our country that goes to waste and get it out to the 1 in 6 people that are in need. It was never intended to be an ongoing, you know, source of food for people for their basic needs. It was meant to supplement that. And I think what it's become is just this chronic response to a system that's broken. We need to have a strong nutrition safety net that provides for the basic needs, and the food banks are there to fill in when there's spikes in demand or there are people that are really kind of in a short-term crisis. It wasn't meant to be an ongoing food supply system, and that's what it's become in this country. It's very frustrating to think that a country that has enough food on grocery store shelves to feed everyone three meals a day somehow still has this situation where in Western North Carolina, 27% of the children don't have the access to the basic food they need for normal human development. You just throw up your hands and say, how can that possibly be?
Let's turn to the other side of it. How are your donations and support? And in a moment, I'm going to ask you how people can help, but how are people responding when you ask them to help you help others?
The response has been incredible. People really step up. They want to come and help volunteer. They want to donate food. They'll do food drives. You know, our financial donations increase this time of the year, and we're seeing it coming in very strong this year. So I feel very good about the response of the general community to wanting to find a way to help meet this need. The challenge is that it's going to take that, but it's also going to take a strong nutrition safety net, federal policies, a food stamp program, food commodity programs that are there to provide the basic needs so that the community can step up and help put it over the top.
One of the aspects of our current political debate, I'm not asking you to comment on the politics of it, but has been to sort of demonize or blame the poor. And we certainly saw that a lot this year with unemployment and a lot of other things. And I wondered, as a person who helps people who are struggling every day, what your thoughts are when you hear people in positions of power blame the people who are the ones who need help.
It's very disheartening, Chris. And I think, again, if people really took time to understand what the face of hunger is and who it is that's coming for help, I don't think they would feel that way. If they really were able to understand, for example, that the average time somebody spends on food stamps is 9 months. It's people that are needing help during a critical point in their lives so that they're able to maintain, so that they don't spiral deeper into poverty. If somebody that has lost their job can get food stamps for a while, then they don't have to sell their car. If they sell their car in order to buy food, then they don't have a way to get to work or to apply for a new job. Or if they aren't able to make that mortgage payment because they had to purchase food to put on the table, then they potentially are going to lose their home. That whole food stamp program is really designed to provide the basic level of support that people need to prevent people from falling into poverty. It's very frustrating to hear people demonize the people that are on it, because that also prevents people that need to step forward and get those benefits so that they can have the food they need. It's better for our whole economy if we have that support there to keep people from falling into poverty.
And finally, before I let you go, I want to make sure that you can tell us how folks can help you.
Basically, people can help food banks across North Carolina by going on to the website for the North Carolina State Association of Food Banks and looking for the food bank that's in your area. And we all have websites that will let people know how they can volunteer, how they can do a food drive, how they can make a financial contribution, how they can be informed about the advocacy issues that we need people to be ready to raise their voices to express what kind of society they want, what kind of programs they want to support the people that are our neighbors and that need a helping hand from time to time.
Well, Cindy, thank you very much for everything that you're doing, and we really appreciate you being with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.